verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." He starts the verse off with "therefore." And if we're going to know what it's there for, we got to go back and read the context. Go back to verse 51 with me, if you would. He said all these things that are good, things that are encouraging. But why? Because if we're not careful, we'll get discouraged. This church and churches like this one, first the church at Thessalonica, they were worried. This is the first century church. They didn't have all of the Bible like we had, so God was giving them information. These letters that we continue to read that make up the King James Bible, that make up the Word of God, they were being sent to encourage discouraged people. People who they knew that they were saved, but what happens to those that go on before us? How's it going to work? When are we going to know that it's the return of Jesus Christ? He's answering so many of these questions. Now, in this book, he's dealing with sin. Like in so many places, but especially in Corinthians, he's dealing with a carnal church. He's dealing with a church that's got one foot, if I could say it that way, in the world and one foot in the church and in the things of God. And as he begins this idea, he's trying to help them realize, pull your foot out of the world because victory's on the Lord's side. Pull your foot out of the stuff that's dragging you down and getting you discouraged. If we're not careful, we'll keep our eye. We're looking so much for the return of Christ. We'll keep the TV on instead of the Bible open. We'll keep the TV on to see what's happening instead of reading the book and learning more about the one that's about to sound the trumpet, the one that's going to call us home, the one that's coming to get us. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with watching the news. I like to hear those guys guess at what the weather's going to be like tomorrow. I like to hear it. They do their best. They try hard. You can't set their watch by what they say. My dad calls every weatherman the Lion King. That's what he does. I'm just here to tell you, you know. And we can watch and listen. Right now, they're still, I don't know how long they can keep this thing alive, but I mean, they are fear-mongering as hard as they can go, still on the news. They let it go a little bit after we got a new president, but they manufactured it back up again. The presses are going as hard as they can go. People are inventing brand new things to say about the flu. Now, I'm here to tell you, it is serious. It's just as serious as the other flu has ever been. People get sick every day. People get pneumonia when flu gets a hold of them and gets them down. And we should worry a little bit about that. We don't have immunities to some of the brand new variants of the flu. But we don't need to be crazy. And we don't need to shut everything in the world down because the news media said so. If we followed the news media, we would shut the church down a long time ago. If we followed the news media, we would have just surrendered the presidency for the rest of time and turned it over to be socialism, communism, and everything else. So don't start listening to the news media just because they get started and they're on a roll with something and they ain't going to turn it loose. I just want to say again, I believe wholeheartedly that if we're not careful, if Americans don't stand up and be counted, if we don't write letters and we don't say things to the government, we are on the cusp of being forced to take a vaccination. All right? And I know every young man that signs his name on the dotted line that goes into our military signs away his personal rights and he is the property of the government. But let me tell you what I believe that our Constitution says: the government is the property of the people. And those folks in Washington don't need to be telling us what we're going to do. They need to, again, they don't have any right in this thing. You say, well, they're protecting the man next to us. Hogwash and applesauce. They're going to protect us as much as a mask does. Or two masks. Or three. Now, I know I got off, but I'll get back to the scripture now. Verse 51. Amen. Don't get discouraged. Amen. Amen. Don't get discouraged. I get worried when I feel like we're going backwards. We're going right back. You know, I don't know if you understand just the definition of insanity is. It's doing the same thing that hasn't worked over and over and over again. All right? If the mask didn't work the first time, they ain't going to work the second time. Amen. Third time, fourth time, I agree. You say, well, it helps a little bit. Keep on believing. You got more faith than I do. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We could take a lap just on that one. All right, I'm glad to know that one day I'm going to be, I'm hoping it's me, but listen, there's going to be a generation that never knows what it's like to lay down in the grave. There's going to be a generation of people that lived their whole life and they never had to die, but when the trumpet sounds, they're caught out of this place. There's a lot of generations of people that hoped that they'd be that generation. They've looked to that generation. They'd prayed that they were the generation, but they have worked their whole life long for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they slept just like the generation before them. But one generation will be the generation that will not sleep, but it will be changed, and it will be caught up together with those that are dead in Christ, and will be, listen, and those which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. I just want to tell you, the reason the dead in Christ got to start is they got a six foot way to go before they catch up with us. Amen. They got to start first. They got to get up. The Bible uses the word prevent. I'm a plumber. You know what prevent means? Pre means before. Vent means I'm going out. It's venting things out of this world, out of the building. And listen, I'm here to tell you, when it says we're not going to prevent them, don't mean that we're going to stand on top of the grave and hold them down. It means we ain't going to go before them. It means we're all going to go together. That means God's people, when they get on up out of that grave and they get up to catch up with us, we're busting out of this place, friend. I'm excited to know that Jesus, because he rose again, I can rise again, because I'm a Christian and I'm in Christ. One day I'm going to hear a trumpet. I'm going to hear the sound, the call of God, and out of this place I will go. And I'm here to tell you, after I had teenagers, I've said it before and I'll say it again. After I had teenagers like you, I said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. I thank God for my kids, and I tell you, but I'm here to get, you know, one of the scariest things, and it'll be discouraging, is when your kids are not saved, when they've not received Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know about you, but just hearing about Brother Doug, I thought, man, I remember my burden that I got from my family. I can remember sitting down with an uncle that spent a lot of time. He spent some time in Korea and in Vietnam, and both of those experiences as a Marine Corps veteran had hardened him to a place where he said, I deserve hell. And I said, Uncle, every one of us deserve hell. It don't matter where we fought, what jungle we've done, or how bad we've messed this world up. I'm here to tell you, every one of us, because we're sinners, deserve hell. But Jesus commended his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Listen, I'm here to tell you, the book is still real. You say, did he bow his head? Not that day. But can I tell you this? I could almost take a lap on this one. I get excited when I can say, on his deathbed, I was still here in Florida, and he called for my father. And he said, I need Rex to come to my bedside. Didn't call for the preacher. He called for his brother who had witnessed to him over and over again. And he said, call Rex. I'm ready to get saved. Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you, sometimes we think our labor is in vain. But listen, after you've been a witness to somebody, when they're ready, they know who to call. When they get good and ready to receive Jesus Christ, when they've come to the place in their life where they're ready to humble their heart because they want to receive the hope that Pastor Carter was preaching about this morning, I'm just here to tell you, they know who to call. I want to be somebody in this life who's been a witness and not always successful. But when somebody needs to hear about Jesus, they know who to call. I want them to know that they can call upon me. I want them to know that they can call on the membership. Listen, as a family member, don't you want your family to know they can call you? And you'll come and you'll share the gospel with them. He says in verse 51 that, man, we shall all be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It didn't take long, did it? Boy, like that. We always say like that, but even faster than you can snap, in the twinkling of an eye. That means a blink. I'd try, but most of you can't see my eyes, but see how fast that is? Amen. If you're on the radio, you just missed it. Amen. And so That's why you got to be in church. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass. Listen what he's saying here. He's saying when all this transpires, when what's going to happen in the twinkle of an eye, when we're taking off the mortal and putting on immortal, when we're taking off the corruptible and putting on the incorruptible, when all that happens in just a twinkle of an eye, when that happens, this is what's going to come to pass. This is encouraging. Then the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand discouragement until sometimes I let it come. I don't understand when I read the book why people get discouraged, when we could always say, no matter what the devil whispers in our ear about what we used to be, or what we're doing today, or our failures of tomorrow, no matter what he whispers into your ear, you can always look back at him and say, hey, smut face, Jesus already licked you. You're already a defeated foe. You already lost. I wasn't really in the battle. I had somebody champion for me, and his name is Jesus Christ. I don't know why in the world that we insist on trying to, after salvation, try to, listen, I am looking forward to receiving a reward. I'm looking forward to that. I'm working towards hearing, well done, my good and faithful servant. But I realize even then, even in the good things, my righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of a Lord God. It's only because of him and his spirit that there's any good in me. It's only because of his son and what he did for me that I can muster up a good work for the Lord. Hey, folks, sometimes we forget who we were saved at, who we are. We are still in this corruptible flesh. We are still, we haven't, it's going to be a day that we can say, hey, death, where is your sting? Hey, grave, where is thy victory? But that day ain't come yet. The victory has already been won, but there's still coming a day. Death still reigns supreme in the lives of people. People are still dying. People are still dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ. And the work, the great work of his church is the Great Commission. Jesus gave it right before he checked out. He gathered his church together and he said, I want you to go all into the world, everywhere, and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to teach them everything that I taught you, and I want you to baptize. So many times we realize we skip the second two, baptism and discipling others. We get so hung up, and it is important to share the gospel, and it is the first step, but it is not the complete fulfillment of the Great Commission. His church is here. Why is the church here? Why are we meeting together tonight? Listen, many of you, I'm looking at a bunch of gray heads in here, and you've been saved a long time. But you keep on keeping on because you're trying to be a part of a group of people that have knit themselves together for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to see the Great Commission fulfilled in our lifetime, for our generations. And if I could see it looking at the generations that we minister to in this age. So he says, therefore, we realize the victory's been won. So what do we do with it? How do we defeat discouragement, if I could say it that way? How do we lick this thing from getting us down and getting us taken to the place where we get worried about, man, I just hit it. I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know. I can't do it. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. But here in verse 58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren. If you're taking notes tonight, I'd say number one. That always introduction, by the way. Number one, because, or therefore, the reason is because Christ has already won the victory. Why shouldn't I get discouraged? Because Christ has already won the victory. Number two, Because I'm a beloved brethren. If I've already received the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, I got to realize what I was born into. If I was born again, then I was born again into a different family. And that family is the church of the living God. My beloved brethren, do you realize that when you got saved, according to Ephesians chapter 1, he predestinated you. That means he had the foreknowledge to set a place in his church for you to set up and be beloved by the brethren. That means, listen, what sets us apart from the world and any other thing that could be called an assembly, we are a called out assembly that beloves each other. I preach it all the time and say it, but listen, I'm here to tell you what should set us apart from every other group. We're not like the Lions Club. We're not like any other club that meets together. We're a club that comes together, and we're not a club. We're a church. And we're not just saved, not just purposed for the Great Commission, but we love each other. The marks of a Christian and a true brother in Christ is that sometimes I don't like you, but I love you. Sometimes you rub me the wrong way, but I love you anyway. Hey, can I just tell you, the thing that keeps me from being discouraged is I got a lot of people that love me. I may not be their bestie. I got brothers and sisters in this world, and we're not the closest of kin, if I could say it that way. We don't have anything against them. If you went after them, you know, blood's thicker than water, I'd fight you if you wanted to. Hey, but I'm here to tell you, I've got Christian brothers and sisters that are pulling the same direction I am, that I'm closer to. I talk to them every day. I encourage them, and they encourage me. Sometimes if we're not careful, even when we gather ourselves together, we'll slip in at the last minute, and we'll leave real quick, and we'll wonder why we get discouraged, because we're not trying to encourage the brethren. You know what will keep you from being discouraged is being encouraging. Looking for other discouraged people and say, it's all right. I preached a message on Monday. Can God? God can. You ever walked around the church house and somebody said, I got this problem. Hey, brother, let's pray about it. I know. Listen, God can fix it. God can handle it. And you know what it helps me to do? I have to stand in front of the mirror some days and say, can God? And then I say, God can. I don't know about you folks, but there ain't nothing that's too big for my God. There's no challenge. There's no politician. There's no virus. There's no reason for the Christian to get discouraged. Jesus Christ has already won the victory of my eternal destiny. What should I fear on this side of heaven when eternity is settled for me? What should get me down on this side of heaven when I realize that I am a victor with the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, well, there's all kinds of things. I may not have the car I want to drive. I may not have the boat. I may not have this. Boy, you know, when we start saying it out loud, it don't sound so good, does it? It seems pretty petty when we start laying out the things that we get discouraged over that really don't matter for anything in eternity. Amen and amen. Sometimes we get discouraged because we forget that we are victors. We forget that we're beloved, and we forget that we have purpose, and our purpose is to raise our families in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord in His church. And in His church, teach my children to do what the church does, and that's fulfill the Great Commission. If we could focus on that and we could see victories every day. See, every once in a while when we witness, as the end of the scripture says, it says, for as much as you know that your labor's not in vain. You know why you put that in? Because people think that their labor's in vain sometimes. Sometimes we keep working and we look around and we don't see the results that we wanted to see. We don't see the end result happen when we wanted it to happen. The person I witnessed to and got saved didn't come down the aisle and get baptized and join the church. Somebody else's did. And if I'm not careful, I'll wrap myself up in that corruptible flesh and I'll say, that guy's always walking somebody down the aisle and my people never come. What's wrong with me, Lord? I'll get discouraged. I'll get discouraged because somebody else is having victory. Rather than look at my beloved brethren and said, "Woo, God's using my brother in Christ." You bus captains, you'll get upset because of the bus board because somebody else had one more than you had and you wanted to have the most that week. And you'll get discouraged, but you won't go, "Woo, I had 12. Woo, I had 14. And maybe they had 50, but I had two saved out of my 12. Woo,
amen.
Woo." We ought to get excited about the work of God. We ought to not count, say, you know, they're running their race, I'm running my race, and Jesus is going to count it out. Jesus is going to judge who had the most. Jesus is going to judge, and I've already told you, and I've preached it till I'm blue in the face, those of you that can't work like you used to, if you pray for that board on all those buses, and you pray for souls to get saved, and you pray for the nurturing, and you pray for the ministry, you've already worked all the things, but now your ministry is prayer. Listen, don't think that your labor is in vain. You may not see what God is connecting your prayer to and what God is blessing because you were faithful, but one day we'll stand before a righteous judge. And those that think that they did a lot will get that much. And those that seem like I never connected the dots of what they invested in. But God will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." Hey, folks, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren." So if I've got reason not to get discouraged, then what should I be? What is undiscouraged look like? It's steadfast. It's holding the line. It's not standing halfway or leaning on the wall. It's standing at attention, steadfast, ready for the day. Steadfast. I like the word unmovable. If you didn't understand what steadfast is, the Bible tried to help you along. Unmovable. Got the same place and nothing's going to move me. I'm not going to be moved from the love of God. I'm not going to be moved from the doctrines of the Bible. I will not be moved by anything the world throws at me. The world's not going to throw me a curveball and tell me some virus ought to keep me out of church. The world's going to preach what it's preached, and it's going to tell me all the reasons I ought to give in, but I'm going to be unmovable, steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. No virus negates that. No problems or wind negates that. Nothing negates that the church of the living God ought to realize that we've already won the victory and that Jesus is on his way back. And we can look how bad the world got and said, "It could be today, and I'm going to stand fast. I'm going to be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Amen. Pastor stood here and said, "I can't shut down the Lord's church. I don't have the authority." Hey, folks, it don't matter what comes. We are supposed to be steadfast, unmovable. We got scripture on it, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You say, "Brother Parsons, you don't understand the circumstances." You don't understand that the circumstances don't matter. Amen and amen. The Lord's work. Sometimes I get discouraged because I forget whose work it is. Sometimes when I get, even though I know that he's won the victory, even though I'm working and I'm steadfast and unmovable, I'm steadfast and unmovable in my own power, working my work, running my race, not his race that he's laid out before me. Can I just tell you today, listen, we got to get mindful that it's his work. It's always been his work and it's always going to be his work. And when I realize that I'm not called to my work, but I'm called to his work, it'll help me from getting discouraged. I've said it before, but I'll say it again, church. Do you know when you give him everything, when you give him your children and you seriously believe that, God, your child that you've entrusted to me, it's not doing right. And you beg God, "God, help me to raise your child that you've entrusted to me. God, my car that's in the parking lot, that ain't my car. That's your car, God. God, your car just broke down. If you give me the money, I'll fix it." Amen. "God, your house just fell apart. I'll be happy to fix the roof if you teach me how. Give me wisdom. Give me the money. God, give me the blessing. Hey, you businessmen. God, your business, I want to work it the way you want me to work it. God, this is your business. Could I just, I thank you for entrusting it to me. God, help me to work it like, hey, my job. God, this is the job you've given me. This is your job. I want to work it. Look, turn to Colossians. We're in Corinthians, Colossians chapter number 3. You've heard this before. But sometimes we negate to take the work of God and take it into our daily work. See, we don't turn the switch off of being a Christian when Sunday ends and Monday begins and we go to the job. I'm still a Christian. My testimony is still showing. When I leave Sunday and I'm a bus captain or a bus worker or a leader around here, but I go to my business and I'm the leader and I'm the boss, it doesn't negate the fact that I'm a Christian. I still got to be a Christian there too. He says in this passage that we've heard so many times in verse 23 of chapter 3, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Look at verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I believe, Mama, when you're cooking at the dinner table and you're cooking, you ought to cook like Jesus is coming. I believe when you clean your house, you ought to clean your house like Jesus is coming. Daddy, when you sweep the car out and sweep out the back porch and you protect your family, you ought to protect it like Jesus is in the house with you, because he is if you're saved. When we can get down that every work of the Christian is one that is to be done heartily unto the Lord. Sometimes we get discouraged because we'll put all of our effort into the work of God on Sunday and other places, but we negate to have that same emphasis in the rest of our lives, as if it is secondary, as if it we're not going to get. Can I just say this? My home, I'm going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and not just give an account for being the pastor, but I'll be giving account for being a daddy and a husband and a son. Everything that I've ever set my hand to do, I will answer to God, not just for preaching, but for every plumbing, piece of plumbing that I put together when I was a plumber. Every time I laid under the house and nobody would have ever seen it but me. And I knew I could put it together with the stuff I had under the house because I didn't want to crawl out one more time to do it right. But I crawled out anyway, because the one that was going to see it was on high. And him and me were together, and I knew he was going to see what I was putting my hands on. And I crawled out and did it one more time. I'm just telling you, we're going to stand and give an account for our life, and not just for the things that we've done in the work of God, but the Bible says the things that are done in the body. When we put it in that reference, then the Christian life is something that ought to be on display for everybody at every moment. He finishes up, and he tells us, hey, you know this, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can I just tell you today, we ought to keep that ever ahead of us. We ought to, I mean, if there's something for as much as you know, one thing that gets us discouraged is when we don't see results, we start questioning whether our labor is in vain or not. When the church doesn't grow, when the bus route doesn't grow, when the Sunday school doesn't grow, when the Christian school doesn't grow, when curriculum doesn't grow, whatever it is that you're involved in around here, the nursery doesn't grow. That is not your fault. It's because people are not having babies. Amen? But I mean, whatever it is in the church, and it's not growing, and we say, my labor must be in vain. No. Listen, this old illustration, I mean, it's an old illustration, but I'll give it again. Do you know that there are three types of Christians in the church? If we were to compare them to, and I'm talking about Christians, saved people, three types. This is an old illustration, but think about it. Some people, if we would compare Christians to ships, the first one would be like a barge. You got to drag them to work. You got to push them to unload. You got to drag them to get loaded up. You got to drag them to get unloaded. They're useful. They can always abound in the work of God, but you got to drag them to the work, and you got to push them to where they're going to go unload. But we need them too. But I'm just telling you, I don't know about you, but I didn't want to stay a barge very long in the Christian life. The second type of ship is a sailboat. All right? Useful. Moves. Gets along pretty quick as long as the wind is blowing in the right direction. As long as everything is going right. As long as there's not a storm on the sea, we'll leave the sails up and we'll push on. But when trials come, they let the wind drive them wherever they want to go. Not very steadfast. But the third type of Christian is the kind that I've longed to be. And I know many of you want to be or are that type of Christian. That old steamship that had a fire down in her belly. And no matter the winds or the storms or what went on, deep inside that ship, there was a powerhouse burning and churning within that drove it on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I don't know about you, but I want to keep the fire down in the boiler room going. I want to keep the fire strong and piping. I want to keep on driving on because there's a purpose in this life. I need to stoke the fire because I'm a victor. I didn't lose the battle. Jesus won the battle for me. Hey, I've not been thrown out in the cold or left behind. He gave me a church and made me a part of the beloved. I'm not supposed to be given in to the world. I'm supposed to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I say, call up to the engine room. Turn her up, boys. I've stoked the burners. Amen. Give her all she's got for Jesus. It could be tonight. This could be the last chance that I have to serve him. This could be the last run that we ever make. And all the people on the boat, this is their last chance to hear about Jesus. I don't know about you, but 1 week will be the last week, folks. I'd hate to miss visitation on the last week that we ever get to go. I'd hate to miss church on the last run. I'd hate to miss my Sunday school class. I'd hate to miss junior church class on my bus route on the week that Jesus returned. The reason I want to be faithful to him is because he's always been faithful to me. And I don't want to have the poochy lip disease. You know what that is? Discouragement. I don't want my bottom lip to be hanging lower than my chin when Jesus comes for me. I don't want to stand before him looking like a loser. I want to stand and know that I'm a victor in Jesus Christ. I want him to catch me working for him. Hey, folks, if you're here and you're not saved, I know that many people, not many visitors' hands, but that doesn't mean that people aren't saved. In this time of sickness and cold, I gave this illustration this morning, and I'll give it again. When it comes to salvation, think about it in this terminology, this type of thing. You walk in to any old place, any old pharmacy, and you say, I've got a cold and I need help. And those pharmacists will say, where's your prescription? They, by law, they're not going to give you no help. They'll say, you can take one of them over-the-counter things. I don't know if it'll help you, but without a prescription. I know what you got. It sounds like this to me, and I think this would help you, but you need a doctor's prescription written for it. I'm thankful when people walk in the door of the church house and they say, I'm sick and I'm undone. I need help. I can say, I got a prescription for you. Amen. Jesus already filled the prescription. He's already taken care of all that needed to be done for you to be healed, for you to be helped. All you need to do is come and receive the prescription. Folks, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, we talk a lot about this sickness and things that are going on, but the greatest sickness that man ever faced was that of sin. The greatest loss that's ever had was the loss when the Spirit left Adam and Eve in the garden. And now, because of what Jesus did, we can call upon his name. He's filled the prescription full on Calvary and rose again on the third day so that we can have life. So that when we call upon his name, when we trust and believe according to the scripture, that we'll be quickened, made alive again. Folks, if you're here and you're not saved, even if you're a member of Landmark Baptist Church, you say, well, how could I be a member if I'm not saved? Maybe you've come. Maybe you made a profession of faith. But deep inside your soul, you know that you're not saved. I'm not trying to talk you out of your salvation, because if you're saved, I can't talk you out of it. But if you are hanging in the balance, if you are swaying back and forth, you say, well, how can I trust? You trust in the finished work of Christ. You don't listen to what the world says. You put your faith and trust. I lived a long time with a head knowledge. I thought everything through. I thought I knew. I knew Jesus. I knew who he was, and I knew what he had done. But I had never received him, trusted and believed. I never applied it. The devils, they know him. They know. But they don't have any hope in believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. But you do today. God gave you a free will choice. Believer, if you're here and you, man, the truth of, man, I feel like I've been a barge here lately. Why don't you come and talk to the Lord about it? I'm going to get encouraged, and I'm not going to be discouraged anymore. I'm going to work for the Lord. Nobody's going to push and pull me back and forth to the work. I'm going to sail on, amen. I'm going to at least move to the sailboat. And maybe if you've been cruising when it was easy, you say, I want to stoke the fire up hot again for the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and talk to the Lord about it. But if you're here and you're not saved, then when we go into invitation, I invite you to come down the aisle and to take my hand and let me take the Bible and show you how to be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed this evening, as the musicians come, if there's one in the building tonight that doesn't know Christ as Savior, would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Before we go into invitation, before we stand, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Would you slip it up? Let me pray for you. I won't come to you. All right. How many of you would say, preacher, I needed that tonight. I need to come and get encouraged and stoke the fire. Would you slip your hand up? Pray for me, preacher. That blessed my heart. Amen. Let's stand together as the music plays. You come out and do business with God tonight.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
Bow your heads with me tonight. If you're here and you're not saved, well, we'd love for you to come. We'll give you another opportunity of song to step out and come. If you're here and you need to join the church through baptism, you say, I've been here a long time, preacher. I'd love to be a part of the church. Well, listen, most of us, if you've never been scripturally baptized in a Baptist church, all it takes, you come down, our church will vote on you, and we'll baptize you this evening if you know Jesus as your Savior. And we'd love to have you a part of the beloved, a part of this church. Amen. And so why don't you just step out and do whatever God has asked you to do. If you're not saved, please, don't put it off. Come now as Brother Burt sings.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. We'll let you be seated tonight. We do have, I think, a baptism, but I'd like to share some things. Is it not baptism tonight? Okay. All right. What's that? Next week. Okay. Amen. All right. All right, so we're off the feed. All right, I need to share some things with you as they continue to fill out the card here, and we'll give you what's going on. I've been gone a couple this Sunday morning. I was gone Wednesday night. We were down in Lake Placid. Many of you know, we kind of shared, had Brother Sean Weiland, pastor there at Bethel Baptist Church. It was a church plant that at least three churches, but really the two main churches that were involved in planting that church back in 2001 was Independent Baptist Church of Sebring with Pastor Hankins and Landmark Baptist Church. And we have been a key part of that church, and we have funded it for the last 20 years as a mission church. We've given money to that church, and we're very tied to them. And we went there, if most of you remember, we went there for Soul Winning Marathon, got to win about 50 people to Christ, and we've been investing there. And this past week, Brother Sean called me and let me know that he needed to resign the church. And he did that this morning. That is why I was gone and I was there. I counseled with Pastor Carter, and we pastored with Pastor Hankins. And they are down to about, they had 9 or 10 members this morning that voted in the church. COVID has really knocked them down and taken them back, and some other things. And so Brother Sean resigned, and then from the recommendation of other men and our deacons, I went down and we invited them to become a mission church under us, to be a part of our membership, all right? So they voted this morning to come under our membership as Landmark Baptist Church there in Lake Placid while they heal and get helped by us, and then until they are at a place where they can call their next pastor and become autonomous of us again. And so what I need to do tonight is take a vote from our church to accept those folks that are from there, that church, into our membership as a part of our church. And so we'll just need to raise our right hand, take a vote just like anybody else. Amen. And so carried. And I do appreciate that church. It has been something that we had to take care of. And again, I appreciate your prayers. A lot of times as a church, I know that you don't always know everything that's going on in the preacher's lives and things that he's ministering to. But I covet your prayers. This is I know that you know this already, but there's a lot more that happens here during the week than just preaching three times a week. Amen. And so, and you've known that a long time and prayed for our pastor, and I do feel your prayers and appreciate it. It was hard for me to do and hard for me to go. I knew I needed to be there this week, but I clicked my 26th week as your pastor. It was my 6-month anniversary as being your pastor this morning, and I would really have loved to be here. But I was where our church needed us to be, taking care of what we needed to do as a ministry. And I'm excited. Pray for them. Pray for that church. There are visitors coming every week because we went down with the Soul Winning Marathon. And so we're going to need to send preachers that will go down and win people to Christ and help grow that church in the intermedium and help also preach messages that will help heal them as they go forward. Amen. And so you pray for them. What do we have here this evening? Ellie Rutherford. All right. She has accepted Christ as her Savior. She's gotten assurance this past week and desires to join the church through baptism. Ellie, you mind standing up with me here and looking at these folks? I've got to look at them, so I want you to look at them with me if you would. All right. And we're going to take a vote on Ellie becoming a member. She has received Jesus as her Savior. Everybody for it? See all those hands that went up? You get to be a part of the beloved. Amen. You're going to get baptized next week? All right, we'll do that. Let's stand together, and if you want to come by and congratulate Ellie,